not man, modish man, we're modish marmon,
yep,
we're modish men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Hey, good morning. This is Moorish Mag 92.1 on this Anzac Day 2024. Noongar Radio and also Great Southern FM. If you haven't heard the program before, Moorish Mag is a program of good news stories on Noongar community, meaning people down south, and for anybody else who'd like to tune in. Today's Anzac Day, but we're talking genocide as well, and the three executive producers of genocide in the Wharflower State are in the studio with me. My co-host, Tony Hanson. Hello, Tony.
Good morning, Conk. How are you today?
I'm good. And Nidiyang Wedilafala Alan Carter is the other executive producer of Genocide in the Wildflower State. Good morning, Alan.
Good day, Jim. Lovely to be here and be the Wadjula.
Oh, there's a white man in the room. That's okay. Well, we have that occasionally, and that happens. Last week we had three non-Aboriginal guests, and of course, that was an amazing experience. We had Jeff McMullen, ex-60 Minutes foreign correspondent, and that radical person who's sometimes can't be, I don't know what the premiers of Western Australia think of her, but they call her a liar and a racist, the Professor Fiona Stanley. How can she be a liar when she, one of the biggest hospitals in the country is named after her? And, of course, Simon, our own general manager, gave a critique last week on the production that's going to Luna Cinema the day after tomorrow. And he, two more sleeps. It's a sellout. It's a sellout. We're keen to tell you, our listeners. And, of course, RTR played a big role in the development and, I guess, informing our listeners to come along. Tony, RTR, we had a workshop with them. We showed the screening a couple of Thursdays ago, Wednesdays, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, Jim, and good to see the RTR FM family come along and support, and, the great work Simon's doing behind the scenes here with the community, and, it's just another great opportunity to share knowledge with the mob out there, and because this is our shared history.
It is. Alan, you were there at the, we were the Three Stooges at the front having a Q&A to the RTR family.
Yes, I think we are the Three Stooges now. Look, it was great, and there was some good conversation afterwards, some good questions, some good comments, and that's what we're hoping, that this documentary will provoke people to start thinking what the hell happened.
We can talk some more about RTR because, as I say, there's been a lot of work done. RTR 92.1 are committed to First Nation issues. We'll talk some more as we progress through the program today. And, of course, it is Anzac Day. We're commemorating Anzac Day. We'll be talking to Wayne Binder a little later. Wayne is one of the original Moorish Mag people. I'm still here. Nick Abraham's come and gone and doing assignments, and Tonji Hanson's joined me in being a co-host of late, and hopefully going to stick around for a while. Tonji, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it sounds like not a bad little gig. I got the face for radio too, Jim.
Got the face for radio, and you need to do it. So it is important that we maintain the radio waves because our listeners out there, I think there are things that you haven't heard before, and from what we're understanding, you'd like to hear more. 0405 921 921 is our text line, 0405 921 921, and of course, you can come on email as well, studio@rtrfm.com.au. So stick around. We're talking Anzac Day, what genocide means, etc., and our sellout for tomorrow night. But stay tuned because we're going to be talking about follow-up screenings at other theatres. We're hoping that will be the case too. Hey, let's go to a song. I like this song. I'm going to kick it off right away now. It is No Fixed Address. We have survived the white fella world. Let's play this song. Aha, we have survived, Tonj. They tried to get rid of us with genocide in Australia, and there were words for that. It was, you know, that link to genocide called Bring Out the Colour. So that has to be acknowledged, and whilst we acknowledge the day it is today, I don't know what ANZAC stands for, Australian New Zealand Army Corps, I think it is, and the relevance of that. Because so many times people have said to us, well, you know, do we really have to acknowledge? Can't you just forget about it? You know, get over it. Well, do we get over ANZAC? Question for you. 0405 921 921. Shall we get over ANZAC? I'm in two minds because my father fought for this country and he spent time in the Changi as a prisoner of war, tortured by the Japanese because they didn't believe he wasn't Indian. Now there's something. And I guess we wear that, and Dad always remembered it to a degree. But so in two minds about how we commemorate or celebrate what was very important for us in Australia and New Zealand, and I've got to acknowledge our listeners out there who may have had family fighting for their country, who may have lost family fighting for their country. But remember too that our people fought for this country before we were citizens. So there is a discussion we should be having. So what does that all mean for returned soldiers? What does that mean for the dominant culture, the non-Aboriginal families out there? And what does that mean for First Nation soldiers who fought for this country, came home, weren't even recognised, Tonji, Alan. Yep. So these are sort of the issues I think we need to talk through today. Shortly we'll get Wayne Binder on, because I know he went to the morning service up in Geraldton, in Nyamuji country. But, yes, we're here because we want to do this in a respectful way and make you understand that, of course, we commemorate Anzac Day with all Australia. Of course, there'll be some elements of First Nation people who don't give a damn. But that's important too, because in the spirit of reconciliation, we need to resolve and talk through some of these issues. And for us today, three executive producers of Genocide in the Wildflower State, that's screening at the Lunar Theatre in Leederville on Sunday, for us as executive producers of this program, you think about it. We need to think about what happened to our people, what happened... Oh, and he talked about it at a truth-telling session in Bunbury last night. Big shout-out to our listeners in Bunbury if they're tuned in. But we talked about that and the frontier wars, the massacres, many, many massacres across the country. And so do we remember? Shall we remember? So that's what this is all about. That's what the program is about today. We're talking through some of these issues. You might be a little bit sensitised by it. If you do, tell me what you think. 0405 921 921. But, yeah, stay tuned. So keep it locked to 92.1. Hopefully Noongar Radio is listening in and Great Southern FM and Minang Country. We'll be talking some more about what's happening on Minang Country, because the launch of Genocide in the Wildflower State, whilst it's happening this Sunday at the Lunar, we're also launching it in Albany. So we'll talk some more about that. The Albany Town Hall on the 10th of May. We want to go to a song. Now, Wayne Biner's coming on the program shortly. He's going to tell us all about the dawn service in Geraldton, his thoughts on... I mean, I know he's got strong feelings about the dawn service, so we'll get him to talk about that. Let's go to a song.
That was Patrick Davies, Unfinished Business. What a beautiful song there. And on the line now we have our first guest, Wayne Binder. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Hey, g'day, Tonge. I'm good, mate.
Who's your mob and where are you from, Wayne?
Oh, look, I'm from Pinjarra, so Pinjarra mob half breeds and all throughout the southwest there. And this Binder is up through Mount Magnet, Payne's Final, that sort of area there. So, yeah, so a bit of a analogy.
Binjarab and Wadandi, welcome, Wayne. Good to have you on the show. We've got three hosts of Moorish Mag today, myself, Tonji and Alan Carter, who was three executive producers for Genocide in the Wildflower State. You saw that, didn't you? You saw the program the other day with others at the State Library. What did you think of it?
Look, I thought it was really good. I think it's something that needs to go to a few more people and not just, you know, those small amount of people at the State Library or the screening next weekend. So it just needs to go to more people so more people can understand what it was like, what it was about in terms of experiencing firsthand, you know, what it is to be stolen generation. I mean, I wasn't part of that. My parents were. But you sort of hear the stories and, you know, and you go, yeah, you know, that shouldn't have happened. But, it needs to go to more people so they can understand it more.
And, of course, the previous song, Unfinished Business, Patrick Davies, you introduced that to this program. What does that song, Unfinished Business, mean for you, Wayne?
Oh, well, it's very interesting that Patrick Davies has got some really good thought-provoking music. He writes some stuff, and I think he writes it. He's a good guy. He's up at Fitzroy Crossing. He's from North Queensland. Moved to Wyndham, moved to Fitzroy Crossing. Known him for a while. He writes this thought-provoking music, but only occasionally. Is when he's got something to say, and when he does have something to say, it's as beautiful as that. But reconciliation, to me, I guess, is fairly important. I mean, I haven't really thought about it until now, how the importance of people coming together and reconciling differences, and that's a raw sense of it, but there's more to it when you're talking about Aboriginal organisations and government departments and Aboriginal people, West Australians in general, you know, what that means to reconcile differences. Hmm. And, yeah, so there's a lot in it.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a great musician, and I'm glad we replayed it today on such a... So I was going to say holy day, a day of commemoration for returned soldiers, a day where so many Aboriginal people fought for this country, and while they were fighting for the country, their children were stolen, something that a lot of Australians don't understand. Wayne, you have some strong thoughts on today. What are they? What do you think of Anzac Day?
Oh, look, I think it's become a very important day on the Australian calendar, you know, since 1923, when the first of those commemorations took place. There's talk about whether it's, you know, it was in Albany as the troops were going off to war, or was it in Sydney, or was it in Brisbane? There's confusion about that. But what is it confusing is that Australians really do come together on this sort of day, and it's a public holiday. But it's also a day that is special on the Australian calendar. You know, the amount of people that have gone to the wars, you know, the people that have been involved in the Boer War in 1915, I believe. And the Aboriginal people that went there too, there is, you know, there's something like 1,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders served in the First World War, and then more than 4,000 in the Second World War, and, you know, about 300 of them in the Vietnam War. We've got this is Aboriginal people, so, and we've all been affected by it. You know, we've got relations, and I go to each event. I go to the Dawn service, and I've been going for years, and I always take family members with me. Today I took a 9-year-old grandson. Last year I took my daughter and her 9-year-old child as well. You know, it's important for them to understand and acknowledge that, you know, hey, our Aboriginal people went to these wars, Aboriginal people fought in these wars. So, you know, we should be thinking of this day as not just a public holiday, not a day off school, but more about thinking about those people that did go off to fight for a country that didn't really need them in the early years.
Yeah, no, great to have your input, Wade, and your thoughts, which I sense are very, very respectful and sensitive on this day. Wayne, we're talking genocide in the Wildflower State also, and I guess we came into the studio, we're going to have a bye today, but we thought, no, we need to go into the studio to talk through what is relevant to us today, but on the eve of the public showing of genocide in the Wildflower State. Wayne, thanks for being on the show. You recommended a song earlier, but we don't have it on the system. Perhaps you'd like to mention why you wanted this song heard on the radio.
Well, because it's a bunch of famous Australian musicians that wanted to mark Anzac Day in a song. And John Sherman is well known, you know, Red Gun. And I spoke to him in Adelaide a few years back at his conference and asked him a question about, well, you know, you did The Last Frontier and, you know, you did that song and you had a lot to say, so is there more you're going to say? And he said, well, keep your ear to the ground about a project with him and Shane Howard and Rob Hurst. Shane Howard from Joanna, Rob Hurst from Midnight Oil.
Oh, okay.
Together and did this song. And it was about, it talks about the RSL and how there was mateship on the frontiers. But when it came back, when they came back to Australia, you know, Aboriginal people didn't get what the other people got.
Mm.
They didn't get that little parcel of land.
No.
They couldn't go into the pub and they couldn't go into the RSL.
Mm.
So this song is about that. I mean, I wish you could find it. You go, it'd be great.
Yep.
But no doubt, you know, RGRFM will find it at some point.
We will. Sobering, sobering thoughts, sobering words. Wayne Binder, all the way from Geraldton, thank you for being on Mooditj Mag today. You always bring a ray of sunshine when you talk with us.
Well, there's no sunshine up here today.
You like that? I'm brown nosing to you. You hear that?
Oh, look, I know exactly.
Are you just a Mooditj Marmon? You know that, eh?
No, I hear. You know, I sense that vibrations of
that. God, you Wayne. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks,
appreciate
Wayne.
Your time today. We're going to go to a song. And yes, Unfinished Business has a lot to say. Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah.
We show up, take no more. Black at the heart, true in our Lord.
Take no more.
On the voices before.
Emily Donovan, and courtesy of the Archie Roach Foundation, developed that song with a lady called Kian. I think I said that right. I don't know, these young people, they create some weird and wonderful names. So Emma Donovan and Kian. So we talked to Wayne Binder earlier and his thoughts of Anzac Day, which is what it is today. It's a sacred day for a lot of Australians. Anzac Day, the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, and the way they collaborated together and fought for this country. And Wayne had some strong views of educating his children and grandchildren, and he gets along to the dawn service in Geraldton, or wherever he is living, I might add, to ensure that his children and grandchildren are proud of Anzac Day and making sure that they understand the relevance. And we've talked today about the relevance for us, and we've talked to lots of people who've said, well, you know, get over it. And we've said in response, well, do you get over Anzac Day? Do you still commemorate Anzac Day? And a look of shock usually appears on their face about, oh, never thought of that. So he spoke of the gentlemen who came together, some amazing artists, songwriters. The names included someone from Midnight Oil, Goanna. Al, what's the song mean to you? And you found some words, haven't you?
Yeah, look, it means a lot to me as the Wodgler on this program today. you know, I think the rest of Australia, non-Aboriginal Australia, need to understand the impact. And as Jim said earlier, Indigenous soldiers signed up, in fact, going back to the Boer War, but certainly in World War One and World War Two, and in the Vietnam War, and certainly for the First World War and the Second World War, they weren't citizens of this country and theoretically were not entitled to enrol. Brendan Nelson was the...
Brendan. He was a guy we pulled the pin on.
We did. We pulled the pin on him when he was leader of the opposition.
Why did we do that?
It was in 2008 when Kevin Rudd was delivering his now well-known apology to the Stolen Generations. Brendan was the leader of the opposition, and he was very, very careful in his words because he was pandering to the likes of Wilson Tuckey and others, including the now opposition leader, Mr. Dutton, who didn't appear that day at all. So, however, we understand that Brendan, when he was working at the Australian War Memorial and engaged with John Schumann and those amazing musicians to produce that song, which is called On Anzac Day, he learnt a lot, and he is quoted as saying at the time, "Black and white diggers stood side by side, but when Indigenous soldiers returned home, they were treated with the same prejudice and discrimination as before they left. They came from a desperately unequal Australia, and they returned to a desperately unequal Australia." I think the whole of Australia needs to understand that story on Anzac Day.
Wow, so the same man who opposed, really, that's what you're saying, he opposed the apology which occurred 16 years ago when Rudd apologised to Aboriginal Australia for the removal of thousands of children under the guise of White Australia policy, under the guise of breed out the colour policy 1930 to 1960 in Western Australia, initiated and navigated by a dreadful human being called A.O. Neville, who we sometimes call Neville the Devil, because he took our children away. Now Brendan Nelson has changed his mind a little, a bit like a jilgy, really. He's backflipped and said, well, OK, I now understand some of this history, and is now, I call it brown-nosing, actually. He's brown-nosing to us now to say, well, you deserve something better. Sadly, he didn't say that when the apology was commemorated all those years ago. Okay, so I guess we celebrate the man now. We acknowledge that some people are slow learners and don't really understand their history, and particularly politicians. I think that's the saddest part of Australia, Alan, Tony. Mm. Politicians don't know what they don't know. They don't have a clue. That's why Western Australia is one of the two states in the country that have not formulated a redress or compensation program for thousands of children who are now over 50, have never had redress, never had acknowledgement of what happened to them. I got to say, I got some data this week from the redress people. The victims in Australia amount to nearly 40,000 victims who've applied for redress because they were sexually abused as children. Oh, this might be difficult for some of our listeners to understand. So please turn off the program if this is going to be difficult for you. Nearly 40,000 victims have applied for redress. Now, under the system, which came out of the Royal Commission into Historical Sex Abuse, there's a redress scheme that the maximum you can apply for is $150,000. The average that's being paid out today is about $85,000. I guess the big thing is you would get the maximum if you can prove how many times you've been penetrated. That's a sad reality of the 40,000 people who have applied for this meagre compensation. 35% of those 40,000 people, listeners of RTR-FM, are Aboriginal. Yes, 40,000 victims, 35% Aboriginal. Nearly 6% men. So when you consider genocide and consider the removal of children and what that did, and it is genocide because it was a white Australia policy. And then you consider the production the Three Stooges, the three executive producers here have put together, Tony Hanson, Alan Carter and Jim Morrison. Think about the program, because that's what it's all about. It's bring out the colour and the disturbing facts that you're hearing today. I mean, I could go on talking about the disturbing facts that address this issue and make it so important for you to understand what I'm talking about. What is genocide? We don't want to hear that, do we, really? I mean, we hear more about genocide in other countries. And Jeff McMullen spoke about it so well last week when he talked about genocide in other countries, and he was ostracised as a media person for a long time. How dare he speak the truth about genocide in other countries? We're now talking genocide in the Gaza. Let's talk genocide in this country. And sadly, we're doing it on such a day where we're commemorating our fallen soldiers. And we need to also acknowledge our fallen soldiers that were First Nation people. We need to acknowledge the massacres that took place in Australia. And interestingly enough, we were in Bunbury last night. Bunbury was named after a masochist, a person who massacred Aboriginal people, Noongar people in Northam. Yet we have a situation where people in Bunbury don't know the truth. Do they really want to know the truth?
I don't think so, Jim, and I think many of our people in our communities today, you know, sadly are walking around with blinkers on. They choose to listen and to hear what they want to hear. Mm. And I guess their views and opinions are from a colonial lens. And, you know, sadly, days like today, you know, we honour that. But we also remember that, you know, many of our diggers that fought for our country as First Nations people, they were they returned home and thought they were going to be different, but sadly things weren't different for them. On many occasions, many of these people returned home to find that their children were removed. You know, that they weren't equal again. And I guess if they had the opportunities as other diggers, I think we might have been a better country.
Yeah.
Because we're all on the same playing field.
Yeah.
And the goalposts don't move for each other.
That's it. I mean, and you have these wonderful artists, musicians who have developed this song. We're going to have to find it and make sure our RTR listeners acknowledge that. But just, you know, going further, we know now from a number of different what's the word, chit-chat with our older people that... And even my dad, he when he returned from the war across the road from where all the RSL events were, he went with some of his digger mates to a bar across the road, Alhambra Bars. And the diggers were surprised to hear from the bar staff, "Oh, we can't serve you while that man is there, my dad." They called the police. They called the police to get Dad out of the bar, and the police came. And when the police came and heard what the problem was, the police put the money on the bar and said, "Buy the beers for these men." And there were similar stories in Manly where Mr. Prosser, I can't think of his name, he was a Korean vet. No, he could have been Korean or Vietnam. All his army mates went to a bar in Manly during Anzac, and he was refused service. So a kerfuffle happened. The bar staff said, "No, it's okay." So they bought up big in the bar. They bought up big. They bought all the drinks, and then they left. They didn't pay for them. I shouldn't laugh. But so the incidence of prejudice and racism is rife when you consider genocide in the Wildflower State was all around white Australia policy. And you've got to call it out. I mean, it's white Australia policy. Broader Australia are privileged on the back of blacks, privileged on First Nation people, and now don't understand why they're so privileged, being white. But that's what the understanding needs to be, and what our radio, this radio station, which I think is doing one of the better jobs in this country because it's a community radio station. It does a Welcome to Country, acknowledges First Nation people every morning, and this is what RTR is all about. I'm proud to be associated with this radio station. So that song, Alan.
Yeah, on Anzac Day, yes. Yeah. And I just wanted to pick up on the comment that you made about White Australia. The documentary we're talking about, Genocide in the Wildflower State, as Jim mentioned earlier, quotes from Hansard's and from various records. There's a West Australian senator, one of the first West Australian senators, Edmund Drake Brockman, who was actually a serviceman. He was an officer in the Australian Army. But he is quoted in the documentary. He said in 1920, "The whole existence of this democracy depends on our maintenance of the great principle of White Australia." Now, Australians need to understand that when the Federation was formed in 1901, one of the first acts to pass the Parliament was the White Australia policy. And so we talk about, you know, racism and what have you. This nation was founded on the principle of racism.
Oh, too true. Mm. And Tony and I have had the experience of going to Glasgow in Scotland, and I was telling people, no, I'm not Australian, I'm Irish. No, not really. But, I mean, what the reality was from the Empire, and Tony, we need to acknowledge this, listeners need to acknowledge, 155,000 children were stolen from the Empire. We need to know that. 100,000 Aboriginal children were stolen and made to be white people. But yet you have 155,000 children stolen from the Empire to go to all places in the world and Australia. And three-quarters of those child migrants who came to Australia came to Western Australia. What for?
To breed out the colour.
To breed us out. And we've got proof of that, where child migrants have developed relationships with First Nation people, stolen people. I don't know, what is it, like cheese and chalk? Or no, what's the expression where trauma attracts trauma? There is some expressions I can't find right now, but sad people find sad people, I suppose. That's the reality. So we have this situation now where 155,000 or whatever the amount was that came to Australia, they're all white.
Yep.
And we hear stories of people of colour that are saying in the Empire, saying, gee, we're glad we weren't sent to Australia. We weren't sent to the colonies. So, some interesting subjects today. And we're talking this on Anzac Day, 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Menang Country. We're talking today about genocide in the Wildflower State and what it means on Anzac Day. That's why we came in today. We're going to have a bye, as the management say. Are you going to have a bye this week? We chose not to. RTR FM, keep it locked.
In Norseman, they use a hose and a fan belt. But in Noongar, you know, like, things that shouldn't have occurred.
I was mainly helping my friends and also getting flogged for just helping them. We had beltings from a big fan belt or by the cane.
I could never stand up the next day. I could never walk around. And it was the most cruelest experience that anybody can put on. A dog wouldn't get that same punishment.
Anyway, I scratched my ear, and one day the missionary shouted at me and said, "Get in here!" And he told me to turn around, and while he was talking to me, I told you not to. He was sharpening two pencils, and then he shoved them both in my ears, busted my eardrums. And I wasn't allowed to say nothing to nobody, not even to the mission kids, not even to school friends. For years, I was at school, I was sitting down holding my ears like this so I can hear the teacher. And she said, he or she kept saying, "Are you okay? Can you hear?" I said, yeah, I just got a sore ear. I had to make some story up soon until 2021, finally got hearing aids.
Genocide in the Wildflower State, which is screening at the Lunar Cinema in Leaderville the day after tomorrow, Sunday. It's a sellout, so don't bother trying to get a ticket. Oh, You never know. There might be some cancellations. Go to Luna Cinema Elitable to see what's available. Look, if you're disturbed by something you've heard, 13 Yarn is a number, or 13 92 76 or Lifeline. Please, if there's issues that concern you, I mean, this is disturbing stuff. Lifeline is 13114. 13114. Or as I say, 13 Yarn, but that is actually 13 92 76. You've tuned in to Mortgage Mag 92.1, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Let's go to another segment, but I've given you the warning. There's another segment from the program that's being screened, and hopefully every school will hear this sometime in the future. But it is more about truth-telling. Let's go to the second segment.
So I went to New Norcia, and my goodness, the sexual abuse started over there as well with me. I don't know that mutt's name, but I see him and I relive the what happened. And it was only coming, you know, to get to know Yokai that I've been able to heal. Not properly. There's days when people don't see me that I'm in a mess.
There was also a lot of rapes by the Aboriginal boys themselves to us. And I'm one of the victims. And one of the missionaries, tell the missionaries, but you see, they won't believe you because they will flog us for thinking that we're telling lies, which we tell the truth. And the boys will just laugh at us.
She never ever spoke anything about the mission. And we never sort of ask her what happened. She would say, oh, just that she used to clean the rooms and everything like that. And then when when the lawyers came out, she just opened up and said how the man used to take her into the room and do things to her, and because she don't know nothing about sex or nothing, you know.
They called them the protectors at that time. Would call us into the room when we used to go to sleep at night. They will come and tap you. Come along, come along, wake up. Come on, it's your turn now. Come along, come in. You got to come down to see the Mr. Street. Come along. And when we didn't know, getting woken up and then coming down into the room, the quarters where they were, on the edge of the dormitory. For where we were, or where I was, and taking down the back steps and going into their little quarters. And then he would have a strap out and used to beat me, and then used to whip me with the strap, and saying that I was not a good girl, bad girl. And then he would have his way with me. He would sit me on his lap and rock me on his lap.
Another excerpt there from Genocide in the Wildflower State. Quite disturbing again if you need that number. 13 Yarn or Lifeline 131114. Disturbing messages coming out of Genocide in the Wildflower State. We make no apology for what you've heard, because this is a reality of our world. Breed out the colour. Genocide that occurred in Australia during that period of a white Australian policy. And again, we send our best wishes to those people that are commemorating Anzac Day, but please feel free to think about what we're telling you today and how history impacts on us, the first Australians. You know, we've been here for more than 65,000 years, and what has occurred in the last 200 years has been quite damaging. So please take it in good faith. We do that respectfully, and we want you to look after yourself when you're hearing this sort of information. We might have to say goodbye and go out with a song, eh?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. It's been a great show today. Again, it's quickly. It's the way history was told, that genocide never happened in Australia. And I guess I just want to leave that little quote that racial supremacy powerfully shaped Aboriginal policy and practices.
Thank you. Say goodbye.
See you, folks.